I told you last week, if you weren't here, let me just say to you, we're doing a series now that I've been working on for 25 years. It's called Big Butts of the Bible. And people are like, oh, great. I'm not trying to just be funny. I'm trying to let you know that there's at least two different kinds of butts in this world, okay? But God, where he flips the script on everything. Or, but God. Or, but. And we throw out our butts to God. Instead of God saying, no, I've got something crazy for you. Let me follow my notes for a second. But God is a change in direction. Contrasting what has already happened or what we have expected to happen. Beyond normal would be that the butts of the Bible see a situation, recognize what would normally happen unless God breaks in, and then by God's grace, choosing to follow the but God. And so we looked at six different things that are going to be changed by the but gods of the Bible, and we're only looking at six of them. And so today is another but God versus our butt. And I asked something on the Live It Out video. I don't know if you guys watch those. They're not very long. They're not even really very good. So am I selling it? Probably not. But watch them. It's just a chance to maybe look for an application. You guys, the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. He's talking to you, and he might even be talking through me. I hope so. But here's the reality. Our situations in life, our challenges, the trials, tribulations, addictions, overcoming, all of it, okay, every bit of it has a chance to make God's butt look bigger or your butt look bigger. Does this trial make my butt look bigger? Or does it make God look bigger? All right, I could do this all day. Here we go. These are the six things that we're going to be looking for, okay? Six thoughts to change about God, but God will change these. God's strategy, which we looked at last week, and I'll give a recap in just a second. God's love, which we're going to look at today in greater detail. God's kingdom, God's attitude or mind, God's ability and strength, and God's faithfulness. We're looking at all of those over the next 6 weeks, starting last week. Last week, we looked at Joseph's story, God's strategy. If you don't know that story, know this much. This dude had dreams. God told him he was going to be this amazing leader, and then his brothers hated him, threw him in a pit, took him out of the pit, sold him into slavery. He went into slavery, got falsely accused of rape, got put in prison, stayed there for 13 years. And then at just the right time, God brought him out. With the power that only God could do to interpret a dream of Pharaoh and to tell the world that for the next 14 years, they were going to have half those years were going to be a bumper crop and the other half were going to be famine that was bigger than the bumper crop. And God used that to save lots and lots of people. The whole story, though, not just the dream, all of it. Check this out in Genesis 50, verse 20. At the end of his father's life, Jacob died. Israel was what his name was changed to. The 12 tribes of Israel, Joseph was one of those. At the end of Israel's life, his sons were freaked out that the son who had risen to seniority was going to kill him. And he's like, no, no, no. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God... This is that exception where God flips the script, where he changes the direction, where he takes what was supposed to happen the way we think and said, no, I got something better for you. But God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. This was a foreshadowing, you guys, of Jesus. One person whose life looked like it was completely thrashed actually saved everybody. So Joseph's story is good. Jesus' story is way better. And so that's where we're going to jump in on this idea of love, off of this strategy that God would actually take really difficult things and use them for good. We wouldn't do it that way. That's our butt. Is your butt showing? So let me ask you this question. What is love? I know some of you right now, baby, don't hurt me no more. Let's get it out. It's out. Now let's go to what is love? What do you think?
Selflessness.
Selflessness. Thanks, Angie. What else?
Sacrificial.
Delight. Good. I mean, it's all the above, but there's some. Yeah. What else?
Grace and truth.
So it's this combo. Very good. What else? Anybody want to say it's hard? I mean, it's delightful. It's gracious. It is selfless and sacrificial. And it's hard. It's super good. And it's confusing. Especially because we get in the way. I'm going to go back to a series we just spent 16 weeks on. A dear friend of mine said, hey, I love the Gospels. Are we going to move on? Yeah, but we're always going to look back too. So, Matthew 5, 43 through 48, Jesus answers, what is love? Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Some of us are like, all right. Love the people that you want to love. Hate the people that deserve to be hated. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I believe that Jesus is reminding us that there's delight, there's joy, there's grace, there's power in the kind of love where you love people that are hard to love. And by the way, every one of you is hard to love. Some of you are like, that's mean. Look, Jesus says, if you love just those who love you, what good is it? What's love? It's powerful. It's transformational. God is love. Romans 1 through 3, if you read with us 1 through 4, really, I'm going to unpack 4 a little bit more, but I'm going to go 1 through 3 really quick with, again, focusing on my notes. The gospel is good news. What is that good news? Everybody falls short of the glory of God. But everybody can be saved by the goodness of God and the love of God. So, here's the good news. Everyone needs Jesus. Without him, there's no defense, excuse, or hope for avoiding God's wrath. The only hope for peace with God is by faith through Jesus Christ. Faith is a gift also from him. We found out that righteousness comes by faith, and faith is a gift. And we hear about this guy, Abraham. And some of you might remember him. Father Abraham had many sons, right? But there's more than that to his story. He didn't have any sons when he was told that you're going to have a bunch of them. And he had to have faith, and that was a gift from God. And that's where we pick up today's story and today's but God. In Romans 4, 23. And we're going to go through 5:8. And I really am just going to let a lot of this sit, literally the first word we're going to read is the word but. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone. Aaron, what? It was counted to Abraham that he was righteous. That means in right standing with God because he had faith in God, not because he was such a catch. This is grace and truth. It wasn't written just for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Look, we have faith in God because God put forth Jesus. Wasn't Jesus God? Yes. God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, all God. Super, super challenging. And I'm not even going to be able to unpack even a little bit this idea, except that God is one. We don't have three gods. We have one God. But God the Father put forth his Son Jesus for our trespasses. That's love. I'm paying for you, God says. But look at this next part. He wasn't just dead. He actually raised. That's part of the good news too. He raised for our justification, just as if we never sinned. You're not just saved from sin. You are continually saved to live a life for God. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We weren't at war with God, were we? Yeah, on your own you were. No matter how beautiful you look, no matter how smart, no matter how financially set you seem to be, apart from Jesus, you're at war, at enmity with God. But we have peace with God through financial giving, through attendance at church, through coming to every event that the church is open for, giving up your spare time to serve God and others. That's how we're at peace with God? Oh, no. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Peace, grace, and hope through faith in God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Whoo, this little shout out to God's strategy. Okay, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Some of you at this moment might be like, gosh, that's just so many different words. Well, let me just continue then. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. How could that be the right time? Aren't we supposed to get our poop in a group and then God's like, oh, I love you. I'm so proud of you. You did good. Let me just gather you in. Yeah, that would be our story. That's why I think when people want to tell us today that the Bible isn't true and we've translated it to make it look like something, it makes it look like we're a mess. And we desperately need God. And he's so crazy about us. Who would write that story? No human being. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous or a just person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. Memorial Day. We celebrate that men and women would lay down their lives for other people. Their loved ones, their country. God bless America. Paul's saying, rarely will somebody die for a good person or a righteous person. That just doesn't happen very much at all. I mean, some of us are like, man, I'd take a bullet for you. We got people that sing songs about that. I fall on a grenade for you. For real? Why? Because I love you so much. Person that sang that song can't commit to marriage. The people that sing these songs, write these stories, make these movies about love, are challenged to the core about what love really looks like. Paul's saying, look, we were died for when we were a mess, not when we were great. So, barely would anybody die for good people, but God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. My goodness. But God demonstrates, shows, puts on display his love. Not in that he looks for the people that are really cool and look just like him, and then I'll sacrifice for you. No, he found nobody worthy of dying for. And that's who he showed his love to. That's so inspiring. That's so ridiculous. Please look at these five words with me. But God shows his love. God does not keep his love to himself. God does not go off in the corner and say, Marco. He puts it on display. So he would give us peace and grace, hope and love. But wait, there's more. Verses 9 through 11. Since therefore we've now been justified by him, by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. You and I aren't just saved from sin. If we're in God, we're saved from the wrath of God. We don't have to wonder, oh my goodness, if I don't do enough right things, if I'm not like totally sacrificing, if I'm not selfless, if I don't give, because the pastor says, you got to give. You don't just give two, you give through. Oh, okay, great. If I don't do all those things, then God's not going to like me anymore. God showed his love for you when you were an enemy of his. He didn't look at us and say, you're so cute with your gold tooth. I just want you. We were at odds with God. That's when he demonstrated his love. And so look, I love this. Since therefore we've now been justified by his blood, not by our blood, by his, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if we were enemies, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, now that we are reconciled already, shall we be saved by his life. Saved us by his death. Now his resurrection says, I got this whole thing covered. Well, I've been blowing it. Come back to him. Find that rest that Leslie was talking about. Like, yeah, you need to do some things that are hard and difficult, but that's not all there is to this faith and this life that we've been given by Jesus. He's actually risen from the dead to give us the power to want to love him and want to love others and the opportunity to do it and to fail miserably in doing so. Anybody besides me blow it today? Okay, not many. This week? Okay, we're close about. Gosh, your pastor's a hot mess. More than that, I love this. We'll finish with this for now. More than that, we also rejoice. We celebrate in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We are reconciled and nobody can snatch us out of his hand. Look, I have it right up here. We deserve God's wrath, but instead we're reconciled to him by his love. But God, this is hope. This is restoration. Are you going to have hard times? Yes. There's going to be days where you feel like those 33 miners in Chile, right, that were down below for a long time. And they didn't even know where they were at, but they finally found them. And you know what? They still couldn't take them out. But they had a tube that delivered some goods to them. And they had hope. And they actually kept alive because of hope. That tube delivered them the goods. Sometimes it feels like we're just barely getting the goods delivered to us through the tube. And then other times they're like, I'm getting out of here. Your hope is living in Jesus Christ. Your hope is secured in Jesus Christ because of his love. So at 10:01, I have a PS for you. I have time to do this. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. As you're able, would you stand with me as I read this postscript for you? And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. That's not very helpful. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. I mean, that's who you once were. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up in him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, not someday, but today. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Man, you just keep saying this Jesus name. It just seems to be all about him. You're getting it. For by grace you've been saved through faith. By grace. You can't deserve or earn grace. You've been saved through faith. And this faith is not your own doing. It also is a gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You can't earn it by works, and you can't lose it by not doing the works. You actually get to do the works. You get to share this, but God so loved the world. But God shows his love. But God, rich in mercy. This is what we get to do. This isn't a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Not because of good works of our own, but for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. But God shows his love. The big buts of the Bible is God has flipped the script. God has taken the condemnation and flipped it to, hey, welcome home. I paid for you. Now walk in it. Now go for it. You're freed up. Friends, one of my favorite movies of all time is a baseball movie. I'm not going to make you guess. It's called Sandlot. There's this little dude, Smalls, and he's just a wreck. Not an athletic bone in his body. He wears this fishing hat that's got a brim just out to here. And he's just really bad. And there's this guy, Benny. He's really, really good. Stud of the world. He comes up to Smalls, because Smalls can't even catch a fly ball. And these guys are mad that he's even playing. He's taking up a spot. Benny comes out and goes, man, I bet you get straight A's, don't you? Well, I got an A- once. He goes, look, Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand here. Put your hand up in the air. I'll take care of the rest. Benny goes all the way back, gets to home plate, spits on the ball for luck. Okay. Bam. And it hits the ball. And it goes right into the glove. And everybody celebrates. And now Smalls is part of the team. You know who did the work? Benny. You know who had to be a part of it? Smalls. You know who got to be part of the team? Smalls. And in that story, Benny gets the glory. Smalls gets the benefit. Take that story and throw it away because Jesus is better than Benny. And you're worse than Smalls. But God has not said, all right, I hope this works. Good luck, me. He's got it written out. If you're hearing his voice today, it's because you know him, because he's made himself known to you. He's been gracious to you. He's called you. And by faith, you can believe him and live it out. You need to repent. Repent. You need to come to him for the first time. You've not surrendered your life to him. You've tried to do your own thing, your own way. You once were all these things. You're not once. You're like, no, man, I'm still there, but I don't want to be anymore. Today's your day. Rejoice in the fact that Jesus loves you, showed his love for you, that while you were way far from him, he came for you. And now you see it. You're no longer dead at the bottom of the lake. He's brought you up. Walk in that. Receive that. Confess him as Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. And then you get to live like it. God, this is true. It's you. I love you so much. Help us to be strong and courageous. Help us not to keep that to ourselves. Help us to believe you when you say that you love us. God, may that be enough, because it truly is all we need. God, I pray this in your perfect name. Amen.